the series that we're beginning today is called My Playlist. It's not a series about worship, but it is a series that includes worship. Now, if you're over 50 years old, you may not know what or may not understand the concept of a playlist and what that actually is, but let me just help you, those of you that are over 50. You remember that time when you used to make cassette tapes of all your favorite songs on it, remember? That's the same thing, all right? It's very similar to that, all right? So you older people can remember that. Here's the deal. We all have playlists. We all have playlists in our lives. They're groups of songs that fit the activity of our life. Maybe it's a playlist for your workout or a playlist for while you run, or maybe it's a playlist that helps you wake up in the morning or something for your kids or whatever it might be. Here's the thing. Your playlist is designed to help you make the most of specific environments and activities in your life. They help you do what you set out to do better. And while the melody of music might move us, the lyrics of songs actually speak deeply into our heart and our soul. And that's what we need, is we need a playlist of music and lyrics that speak deeply into our heart and our soul, that feed us, as it were. That's what worship is. I want to give you a few things about worship before we get into this. Worship, it's an opportunity to connect with God. We're not here this morning to scratch something or mark something off our to-do list. We're here intentionally not just to have relationships with each other. The primary purpose of us being here today is for us to connect with God. Worship enables us to do that. Every Sunday we sing songs designed to feed your heart and soul, designed to connect you to God. And so many times we don't respond in a way that allows us to connect with God. I watch people and they're just kind of spectators. God never blesses a spectator. He always blesses a participant. And as we sing these songs, they're designed to connect us to God. And we're not just singing lyrics. We're actually talking and connecting with God through the lyrics that we sing. So worship allows us to experience God's goodness. Psalms 34:9, David writes this, "Worship God if you want the best. Worship opens doors to all of His goodness." Worship opens doors to the goodness of God. And if we sit here as spectators and we do not engage in worship, guess what we're missing? We're missing out on God's goodness in our lives. Here's another. Worship may connect us to God, but worship is also a response to God. In other words, it's a verb. It's an activity. It's an action of our lives. And we respond to music in a way that connects us to God. But there has to be a response, if you would. There has to be a response, an expression that actually engages us in an activity that connects us to God. There are hundreds of scriptures that tell us to worship God. And not just tell us to worship God, but how to worship God. They tell us things like raise your hand, stand, sit, kneel, lie down, prostrate, face down before your God. They tell you to have your eyes open and your eyes closed. There are many expressions to what worship is supposed to look like. But here's the thing. God always meets you where you're at, wherever you're at. But He doesn't let us stay that way. He doesn't let us stay there. Wherever you're at today, God will meet you right where you're at. But He doesn't allow you to stay there. He calls us to greater intimacy with Him. So while today you might say, Dave, I'm not a great worshiper, I'm going to say, God knows that. But God's leading you to become one. And maybe today is the beginning of that. David tells us what our response should be in response to who God is. And it says this, "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name." Why? Why are we supposed to do that? Because, "For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through every and all generations. So here's the question. How do you personally respond to God in worship? It's an important question that only you can answer. How do you personally respond to God in worship? And the reason that that question is so important is this. Your response to God affects your connection to God. Your response to God affects your connection with God. Love always has an expression. It always has a response. It always has a declaration. Listen to these verses where David talks about his expression, his response to who God is. He says, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God to my last breath. Another one. All you saints, sing your hearts out to God. Thank him to his face. Worship connects us to God at a very deep level. It's at our very core that this worship feeds us and it connects us to God. It's what the Bible refers to as our heart. It's not our physical heart. It's the very core of who you are, designed to have this intimate connection with God, this intimate response to God and his activity in your life. So the songs that we sing today, the songs we sing every week, the songs we're going to sing in just a moment, they challenge us to believe. They challenge us to believe that God is always good, always good. The lyrics to the songs that we're singing also call us to a greater faith, that God will actually do what he says he will do. The lyrics of these songs also call us to a surrender, to release ourselves to God. So the song we're going to look at today and what we're going to base the talk around is this song. It's a fairly new song out by Bethel Music, if you want to look it up and you want to download it for yourself or your own playlist at home. But the name of the song is The Goodness of God. And here's what I'm asking you. I don't want you just to be a spectator. I want you to engage. But I want this song to speak to you. I want you to allow it to speak to you. I want you to respond to God, and I want to let the message of this song generate an emotion. I want it to reach down into the very core of your being and to stir something that maybe has never been stirred before. So here's what I'm asking. Like, if you want to stand, stand during this song. If you want to sit, sit. If you want to have your eyes closed or your eyes open, if you want to kneel, whatever it is that you want to do. But here's what I'm asking of you. Do not just sit there. You must engage. You must have a response to the goodness of God. So if that's eyes closed, if that's your hands raised, maybe you say, man, Dave, I've never done that before. This is a good time to start. Band's going to lead us in this song. I'm going to come back up and we're going to talk about it. But I want you to step out of your comfort zone and experience and have an expression to God that maybe you've not had before. Father, you're so good. You're so faithful. May we never just take that for granted. May our hearts constantly be moved to have an expression of your goodness in our life. Lead us in that today, we ask, in Jesus' name. I don't know what you do with the goodness of God, but you've got to do something with it. See, some people, they look for ways to blame God. Some people, they see the goodness of God in the lives of other people, but not necessarily God's goodness in their life. Few people actually see God's goodness in their own life, and fewer still respond to that with gratitude. See, how we respond to God's goodness says a lot about our connection to God. How you personally respond to God's goodness says everything about your connection to God. It says everything about your intimacy level with God. Here's what David said this way in Psalm 71. He says, I cannot count the times when you have faithfully rescued me from danger. I will tell everyone how good you are and of your constant daily care. I walk in the strength of the Lord God, and I tell everyone that you alone are just and good. In other words, a couple of things. he's not only in touch with God's goodness in his life, he's already made a decision of what he's going to do and how he's going to respond to God's goodness in his life. And I think that's essential for us as Christians, as Christ followers. See, some people might say, they hide behind the rationale, Dave, my relationship with God is personal. Can I just give you a warning about that? Your relationship with God is personal, but it's not private. God never called us to a private faith. He called us to a public faith. A faith that gets expressed to people. A faith that gets lived out in the open. A faith that has an expression of gratitude to the goodness of God in our life. Worship is not just a part of the Christian life, it is the Christian life. So worship is your personal expression of God's goodness and how grateful you actually are. Maybe you wrestle with the thoughts, you know, Dave, I don't know. I don't want people to think I'm weird. That seems to be a pretty popular one. I would say maybe a better thought to wrestle with than that is, I don't want God to think I'm ungrateful. And I'd rather worry about God's opinion than people's opinion of me. See, gratitude does is it makes us opportunist. It forces us to look for opportunities to express gratitude to God. That's what worship does. The song lyrics, they say, with every breath that I am able, I'm going to sing of the goodness of God. That's an opportunist. I'm going to look for opportunities to express my gratitude and have a response to the goodness of God in my life. There's also some words to the song that says, all my life you have been faithful and all my life you have been so, so good. And I don't know about you, but I hope that chorus conjures up images of God's goodness and God's faithfulness in your life. Because I think most of us are quick to have some kind, we've experienced God's goodness in our life to some degree. I think that most of us would be willing to say that. Maybe you've never thought about it. But I'm telling you, just the fact that you're alive, just the fact that you have what you have, just the fact that people in your life love you, just the fact that you have different things in your life, whatever it is that God has blessed you with, shows that God is faithful and good in your life personally. I don't know if you've looked back at your past and recognized God's presence. It's almost like taking an inventory, if you would. We remember when we take this inventory, we remember God's blessings in our lives. We remember God's protection. We remember God's answered prayer in our life. Then you take that inventory a little bit deeper, and what you experience is you notice that God was there even when you didn't think he was there. And you remember that even when God didn't answer the prayers that you thought how they should be answered, that God was actually there, and his not answering your prayers was actually a better response than the answer to prayer that you were asking for. We look back and we take this inventory, and even in times of loss, we recognize the goodness of God, that God is with us in the good and the bad. We need to be in touch with his goodness, because the truth is you've blown it and I've blown it. We blow it almost every day of our lives, and yet God still loves you and he still loves me. And I don't deserve that, and I know you don't either. But when we live in touch with God's goodness, we look at things like that and we realize, you know what? I've turned my back on God many times. And you've turned your back on God many times. How faithful are you? If you were put on a scale of your faithfulness to God, how faithful are you to God? I would say most of us fail that. But here's the truth. God has never not been faithful, no matter how unfaithful we've been. While we've turned our back on God, God's never turned his back on us. And maybe you have given God just a little in your life, and God continues to pour out in your life all of his goodness. He holds nothing back from you. In this letter to Timothy, Paul writes this, a very profound statement that we need to remember when it comes to this issue of God's faithfulness. Paul tells Timothy, if we are unfaithful to God, or if we are unfaithful, he, God, remains faithful because he cannot be untrue to himself. So no matter how unfaithful you have been, God continues to be faithful to you. How do you respond to that? Do you just, and again, I don't want to be flippant about this, okay? And I don't want to impose guilt. I want to take this, when we sit here on Sunday morning and we say that we're worshiping God and this is how we're worshiping God, is that really a response to the goodness of God in your life? Can I just ask, is that your best? Is that the very best you can give to a God who has done nothing for you but be good? Has done nothing for you but been faithful to you? See, sometimes we need to be reminded, we need to come face to face with songs like this that remind us that we have shortcomings. But that's good, because even with, as a Christ follower, even as a Christian, we need to understand that God's goodness is not limited by our failures. God's goodness is not limited by your failures or your faults or your shortcomings. I don't know. I think that humbles me. I don't know how you respond to that. Because I know you're aware you have shortcomings. I know you're aware you have faults and failures, things that should disqualify us from experiencing God's goodness, and yet God continues to be faithful, and he continues to be faithful, continues to be good. Maybe we need to be reminded of that today. Psalms 86, but you, O Lord, are merciful and a loving God, always patient, always kind, always faithful. Not sometimes. Always. I sing the song, and as I sing the song and talking about this series and everything, and as I sit there and think the song and I sing it, these images conjure up in my mind of the past in my life when God has just continued to be faithful more times than I can even count. Not because I deserve it, but because his goodness are not limited by my failures. When we look at God's greatness in light of our shortcomings, it creates this humility that allows us to love God deeper. Another thing is God's goodness is often revealed in our darkest hour. God's goodness in your life is often revealed or experienced in your darkest hour. Maybe it might be a time of loss. And you had nothing. You were empty. You had no strength. You were void of everything. And all of a sudden, you felt God with you. And maybe he was just helping you to stand. Maybe he was just helping you to face the world that you never thought you could face. Psalms 18 says, Lord, you give light to my lamp. My God brightens the darkness around me. We're not talking about physical darkness. We're talking about evil that surrounds us. We're talking about times of difficulty or maybe even times of uncertainty in our life when it was dark and no one around us actually understood what we were going through. Have you ever been through times like that? Nobody understood what you were dealing with. Nobody knew how dark it really was. Nobody knew the uncertainty that you faced personally. Nobody knew the fear that you were encountering. You felt like you were there alone. And that's what makes that dark place such a dark, depressing place. And yet, even in those dark times of uncertainty, God's goodness is there. No one knows about the darkness that is around you or what your personal thoughts are or those kind of things. And though no one could understand, God did. And yet, in the darkness of uncertainty, God's voice has led you through it. I don't know if you've had times when you called out to God and God has come and assured you that he's with you. You have no reason to fear. He's quieted your fears and he's brought you comfort. He's given you peace. And actually what's happening is you're living the 23rd Psalm, where David says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. That is the goodness of God that we experience all the time, whenever you want it, whenever you need it. We need God in the darkness, but we also need him in the light. And God is always with us, and he's always close. There's a theological term that talks about the omnipresence of God. In other words, that God is always there. He's always here. He's always with you. There is not a time that you are away from God. He was where you were at yesterday. He is here with you today. And he is already where you're going to be tomorrow. And David writes it this way: where could I go to escape from you? Where could I go to get away from your presence? And the truth is, what he's saying is, there's nowhere I can go. You're everywhere. There's a pastor named Levi Lesko, and he writes this book that, man, I highly recommend it. It's a marriage book that I can't recommend it enough. The book is called Swipe Right. And in this book, he writes this statement. He says, there's nothing that you can do about being present with God. The reason is because God is everywhere. God is with us no matter where we're at. There's nothing you can do. You cannot get away from God's presence. That's what David said. You can't. There's nothing you can do about being present with God. But he says this: but it's up to you whether you benefit from his presence. In other words, God may be present, but if we are not open to experience God, if we're not pushing through, if we're not responding to God, we're just being spectators. We have to come close to him and open our hearts to him. Part of the lyric says, I've known him to be a father and I've known him to be a friend. And both of those relationships are, man, they're extremely personal. But they speak of strength and nurture and care and support that we so desperately need. But I'm telling you, and you know this to be true, it's one thing to know that God can be a father figure in your life. It's one thing to know that God can be your friend. But it is something completely different when you know that God is your personal heavenly father. When you know that he is your friend and you've experienced that. Listen, I'm just trying to be real with us. You have known, many of you have known God to be your father. He has provided wisdom and strength and comfort in times of darkness, in times of difficulty. He's given you the wisdom that you needed. And how could we not respond? How could we not open our hearts to express God's worth and our love for him? How can we just sit and just kind of, you know, I don't know. See, God wants us to have these relationships. And I understand that not everybody had a great father relationship. Not all of you have had a great friend relationship. So when you compare God to that way, you're kind of like, oh, I don't get it. But let me just express something to you, that if you don't know what a loving father actually looks like, that God sacrifices everything for you. There's absolutely nothing that God holds back from you. He gives everything good to you that you need. He provides for you. He is with you constantly. He protects you. He is approachable, and his love for you is unconditional. His love for you is not based on your love for him. And while you might walk away from him, he stands and waits for you to return. I can say it this way. If I say this in the best way I can, I just remember, and maybe this is just me, I don't know. I spent a lot of years of my life in rebellion to God, hating God. I spent a lot of years of my life running from God. And like the prodigal son, I found God waiting for me. When you experience God waiting for you, you can't get past that act of goodness because you know that you don't deserve it. Scripture says, find out for yourself how good the Lord is. Happy are those who find safety in Him. Lastly, God's goodness is experienced in His forgiveness of your sins. God's goodness is experienced in His forgiveness of your sin. I would say maybe God's greatest expression of His goodness, the greatest expression of God's goodness, is not seen with our eyes, it's experienced with faith in our heart. Because you know what? All of life displays the goodness of God. The world is a cinema, as you would, of God's goodness. And yet the greatest expression is not seen with our eyes, it's experienced with our heart. We cannot miss the ostensible expression of God's goodness where He sends His Son to die on a cross and pay the penalty for your sins and my sins. I want to read a couple of scriptures. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And other translations say, while you were of no use to God, He sent His Son to die for you. Other translations say, when you were still an enemy of God, He sent His Son to die on your behalf. That is the goodness of God for you. Colossians says this, you were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God, He forgave all of your sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it all away by nailing it to the cross. And it's not just nailing it to a piece of wood. It's, if you really want the truth, your sins were forgiven because He allowed the sins of this world to lash at His Son. Where His Son would shed all of His blood and give His life for you. Not because you're good. Not because you deserve it. Because He's good. And that's what God does. How do you respond to the goodness of God in your life? Now, I'm not saying what's the answer, what's the correct answer. I'm saying I want you to take an evaluation of your life, an inventory. How do you respond to the many times that God has lavished and poured out upon you His goodness? I want you to consider and I want you to be reminded that God has always been good to you and God has always been faithful, whether you recognized it or not, whether you deserved it or not. I want to encourage you to have a daily expression of gratitude, a daily response to the faithfulness of God in your life, because it will feed your heart and your soul. That you will have on your playlist worship that will transform the very core of who you are. See, God didn't create us to worship Him just because He has this some type of a holy ego issue and He needs people to worship Him. He created us to worship Him because worship is the most intimate expression of intimacy you can have with God. And He created you for that relationship. Father, we come to You today. With a keen awareness of Your faithfulness and goodness in our hearts and our lives. Thank You. Thank You is not enough. But Father, may we speak of Your goodness with every breath that we have. With every opportunity, may we be opportunists that look for an expression to speak of Your faithfulness and goodness in our lives. for every person that's here today. May we open our hearts to experience you in this most intimate way of worship. And may it begin with us being in touch with how good and faithful you are in our lives. Father, may our relationship with you be personal, but public, as we speak of your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.